Well, good morning. It's great to see each of you this morning. And I don't have notes for you this morning because when I was doing my lesson yesterday, we had no hydro the whole afternoon. So I couldn't do any notes or print them. So
you're supposed to pay the bill.
Oh. That's Marlene's department, not mine. I never touch bills. The idea is you make the money and then it disappears. She pays the bills, takes care of all that. So we're back to Psalm 9 in your Bibles this morning. And it's always exciting to open the Word of God. Although other things can sometimes interfere. You know, someone texts me this morning and say, "Oh, won't be able to make it." I'm like, so I've been praying for you to come, but wasn't able to come. But anyway, Psalm 9, and we're not going to get a long ways here. First verse, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." And there are a lot of things that are happening in this psalm. There are enemies that are, there's a victory over enemies. There's different things, but I want to look at where it starts with our attention to the Lord. And I think hopefully that'll run well into the pastor's message and service later on. And let's pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours. We're realizing more and more it's a privilege to gather in your name. And we have taken it for granted the whole of our lives. But we thank you for this day and this time that we might open the Bible together, study your scriptures, Lord. And we pray that you would draw near to us in this time. We want to take our attention off the things of the world and off of the struggles and the troubles that we've had over the past week. And as we begin a new week with you, Lord, we pray, help us to be able to do what David said he was doing in this psalm as he came to you, Lord, and determined that he would praise you with his whole heart. And we pray that you will bless this time, Lord, and open our eyes to the things that are in your word, that we might be helped in our own personal walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, he says, "I will praise thee, O Lord." The word praise here is the idea of holding out the hand to somebody. Now, the Lord, using Paul, wrote, "I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands in prayer." And the emphasis is on the holy, but lifting up of hands to God has always been a part of the worship of the Jews, of showing respect to God. Well, we wouldn't want to do it as Baptists, but you don't want to see anybody doing that. But the only problem with that is it's very much in the scriptures of lifting up hands to God. So anyway, if you don't like that, I understand. Reaching out the hand to someone. If I was introducing the pastor this morning, I might reach my hand out and say, "Behold, Pastor Bruce." It's the giving of attention to God. It's the idea of, with the hand, it has something to do with offering strength to another person. And though we have no strength to offer God, we are showing him prominence in our life with praise. Interesting, as you look up the word praise has to do with a lot of different things. It has to do with basic things like the confession of our sins. Now you, if I was to ask you this morning what you thought praise was, I don't think any one of you would have said, "Oh, it's taking time to confess my sins." Because we think, well, that's dealing with us and our problems. But us and our problems are always interfering with our walk with God. Our sins are always interfering with our closeness to Him. Doesn't interfere with our relationship with Him. Ever since I asked the Lord to forgive my sins and to save my soul, I am His child. Sometimes a good child, sometimes not so good a child. But I am His child, period. But how I get along with the Heavenly Father, how close I am to Him personally, has a lot to do with now confessing my sin and seeking the forgiveness for that. I was never close to my dad. My dad was a gruff person. He didn't say too much. It was hard to know what he was thinking. I worked my head off as a kid on the farm trying to please my dad. And I don't know that he was ever pleased. Not really a good picture of the Heavenly Father, because you can please our Heavenly Father. You can please Him. You can honor Him. And that's what praise is about. It's about doing something to please Him. And so confessing sin, we've talked about it before, is so important. We don't confess our sins to try to hold on to our salvation. Our salvation is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we confess our sins to deal with things that we know are wrong. And as Rose has pointed out, it's good also to ask the Lord to forgive you of sins that you aren't even aware of. It's very good to do that. Things that you don't know are in your life. We're not very good at seeing ourselves. I think other people see us better than we see ourselves. They say that everybody has blind spots. Did you know there's a blind spot in your eye? I was at the optometrist. I forget what was wrong with my eye. Oh, for the first time in my life, I had what they call an ocular headache. I didn't really have much of a headache. Marley and I were away and staying in a motel, and we were walking down the street, the town we were in, and all of a sudden I could see this, like a crescent moon in the top corner of my eye. And it was starting, you know, and it was really bright. It made me think of you know, detached retina and things like that. So that was kind of frightening. So we went back to the motel and just kind of lay down and rested, and eventually it went away. Then I went to the optometrist to see what it was. And it's called an ocular headache. It has something to do with the ocular nerve and all that. You get a headache up in that end of your brain, I guess. I never had that before. So anyway, he put me through this test. And basically, you sit in a chair before I forget what they put this thing up to your face, and then they flash a light. And every time the light flashes, you press the button. If you see the light flash, you press the button. Well, the light didn't always flash, so I didn't always press the button. When I got done, he said, I'm the only person, he's an old man, Dr. Coates, he's old. And he said, I'm the only one he's ever seen do 100% on that. I said, but there were times when I didn't see it. He said, that's because that's where the nerve is attached to your eye. You have a dead spot where the nerve is attached. But the interesting thing about that is, the reason why you don't have a spot in your vision where you don't see something is because on the other eye, God put it in a different place on that eye. So with the one eye, you have a blind spot in one eye, and you have a blind spot in the other eye, but they're in different spots, so the one eye always sees something, so you have no idea where it is. You never see that blind spot. Isn't that, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. It always amazes me at what God has put into us in our bodies. But anyway, we have a blind spot in our life, but often we don't see our sins. I mean, how many times Marlene has said to me, if you could hear yourself, or if you could see yourself, You know, because you know me, I'm always doing or saying something wrong or you know, well, to me anyway. to confess sin and to see sin, and so often we don't see it for what it is. Now, praise also has to do with confessing something else. Confessing God's help. Things like looking at your life and seeing how the Lord has encouraged you to trust in Him. How He has helped you in a time of need or in a time of distress where you had no idea what you were going to do. But the Lord was there to help you, to give you strength, to answer prayer, His forgiveness, His comfort, His encouragement, spiritual enlightenment, those times when you just can get so much out of the Scriptures, God's leading, the giving of wisdom. Can we praise God? Essentially, to praise God means to say good things about Him, just like you'd think if you were praising someone else. To say good things. Say good things about God. David said, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Can we say what God has done for us with our whole heart? The whole heart means with the feelings, with your will, with your intelligence, with the center of your being. And oftentimes we don't do much in life with our whole heart. We're often thinking about something else. We're doing that. In the morning, I'm up, I'm brushing my teeth. I'm like, I'm done. Did I do that right? Because I wasn't even thinking about what I was doing, you know. Or you're getting groceries and, you know, always thinking of something else while you're doing it. How many times have I gotten in my vehicle and drove all the way to work and... I'm at work, but I have no idea how I got there. I can't remember a single thing. I got through all the lights. I didn't run into anybody. But I remember absolutely nothing because I've been thinking about something else or praying or something else. there isn't much that we do in life with our whole heart. And sadly, the worship of the Lord is one of those things that we just get used to and you can not be present in the worship of God even though you're actually here. We don't want our worship of the Lord to be dead and unfeeling. Many can only tell of the greatness of something a long time ago in their life or that God did. And not, you know, maybe a few hours ago or even a few days ago, something that God did for us. Now, the problem that I often have, if people are giving testimonies, that what God has done for me is so very, very personal that I do not feel as though I can share that with everybody else. And that's fine. There are testimonies you can give in public, and then there are things that you can't say. But you're still very, very grateful to the Lord for what He has done, and you recognize what He is doing. I will praise You with my whole heart. Now think about this. Can God accept anything less than that? Can He accept from us anything less than praising Him with the whole heart? For example, we are told that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. And then your neighbor as yourself. But to love Him completely. We often love ourselves a great deal, but to love the Lord and to love Him as we should love Him, to speak of His gratitude. He would show forth, He says, I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will just show how good God has been and all the things that God has done. Now, David's talking about a war situation, as we will see later on in this psalm, and a battle that he was in, and specific things God did for him. But now, often our battles, though, are very, very personal and very unknown, thankfully, to everybody else. You really don't know, and everybody you know, things you struggle with, but we all struggle with things, and whether other people know about them or not, so we may not show forth all of God's marvelous works in our own personal lives, but we want to have that wonder and admiration for the Lord, for what He has done, and He does great things, and we don't want to just get used to what God does and take it all for granted. Have we attempted to draw near to God? Draw near to God, we're told. Draw nigh unto Him. Have we, as a sinners, cleansed our hands? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, He says, and purify our hearts as double-minded. So have we double-minded people purified our hearts? I think this last week was National Run Over a Squirrel Week. Because everywhere I went, there was a dead squirrel on the road. You know what the problem is with a squirrel? It's not that he isn't fast or agile. They are very much so. The trouble with a squirrel, and you're thinking about it right now, is he always runs out in the middle of the road, and then he can't make up his mind whether he's going to go all the way across or go back. So he goes a little bit this way, a little bit that way, and the next thing you know, he's flat, and he's not going anywhere. And I'm not really sure why this week has been like that, because you don't usually see a lot of squirrels, but I've seen a lot of flat ones this week. And he's dead because of indecision and double-mindedness. He has two minds. It's like, I should go across. No, I should go back. And the next thing you know, he doesn't get another chance. It shouldn't be like that with us. We should be able to make up our mind in this world about serving God and go forward for Him. And we shouldn't be of two minds. You know, we're going to go out in the world, or we're going to go back to the arms of God. Or, you know, we shouldn't be unsure. The trouble that we all have is that we all like sin. We should hate it, but everybody struggles with that. But no one likes the consequences of sin, and that is the one thing I think that is helping us all along. And that's why the Bible so often will talk about the consequences of this person's sin, that person's sin, or this particular sin, to remind us, you know, it's going to be bad if we go and sin somewhere. And we don't be like the squirrel with indecision. So he says, purify your hearts. We don't want the defeat. We don't want the guilt. We don't want the loss, the death. The reason there is death is because of sin. Do you realize, I was thinking last week when Brother Frank Grad was here and speaking, that, you know, our bodies would live forever if it wasn't for sin. If it wasn't for sin, we wouldn't get old and look old, but worse, feel old. We wouldn't have that. It's sin. Sin brought death into this world, and we're looking forward to being in heaven where there won't be any death. We all love the Lord, but how close have we been to Him? How much have we read of the Bible? Or do we read the Bible all the time, every day? Do we pray? I was looking up my phone last night. As you know, I read about 10 chapters of the Bible a day. I actually read more than that, because I think 10 chapters will only get you through the Bible twice a year, but I think I figured out that I'm actually doing right around 2.5 times a year. And there's another guy, this professor has come up with this Bible reading system. And his system is to read 10 chapters, but to read, not like I do, but to read one chapter of 10 different books in the Bible. And in his system, you read the Gospels through 4 times a year, and he has it all set out. You read everything at least once, but he has this Bible reading system, and His recommendation of the Bible reading system goes like this. He says, when you read that much of the Bible, it begins to explain itself. And that's so true. And so I encourage you to read the Bible. And sometimes you get more out of it than others, but in God blesses that obedience and that interest in your life. And if you make every effort to be close to God in your mind and in your heart, God blesses that. Can we say, we know that God has come closer to us in our lives, because nothing is as good as being close to the Lord. Now, I got the old favorite hymns of praise book. I collected a number of hymn books. I love the old hymns. Let me just read for you here a couple of these. There's one that we all know. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. We love near the cross. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. It's so wonderful to picture the suffering of our Lord and His suffering on the cross and all that brought His death. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. keeping close to the cross. Franny Crosby wrote that. And she also wrote 409, which is a song actually I don't know. It's called Nearer the Cross. Nearer the cross, my heart can say, I'm coming nearer. Nearer the cross from day to day, I'm coming nearer. Nearer the cross where Jesus died. Nearer the fountain's crimson tide. Nearer my Savior's wounded side. I'm coming nearer. I'm coming nearer. All wonderful songs. Let's see. I just picked four out of this hymn book. 267. Hold on here. You all know this one. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. That haven of rest of being close to God. such a wonderful place to be. And there's another verse here that's really important. He says, nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies I gladly resign. Well, that's all part of being nearer to God, isn't it? All of its pleasures, pomp and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. And that's a great cry. Give me only Jesus. nearer, still nearer, while life shall last. Of course, nearer, my God, to thee. 272. The song they were playing was reportedly as the Titanic went under. The band played this. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, even though it be a cross, that raiseth me. Oh, wait a minute. I want to be near God, but I don't want to have to go through suffering to be near God. He's recognizing, you know, even if I have to be on a cross, raised on a cross, if that's the only way to be raised closer to God, he said, even though it be a cross, or she said, that raiseth me. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee. And then verse 3, other verses, I won't go through all that, but, you know, why all these songs about being nearer to God? Because godly men and women over the years have realized this is what life is really all about. It's about drawing close to God. It's about being close to Him. And all this fascination with being near the cross and near to Christ personally. It's so much of the Christian life. And so in the psalm here, he said in verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Well, that would imply that you have to get above petty problems and the troubles of today and yesterday and focus our attention on the Lord. You know, not I will understand everything about God or even about the Bible, but I'll be glad and rejoice for what I do know. And there's lots of things to be glad in the Lord. We could be bitter, we can be bothered, but we can decide to be glad. And that's what he is doing. He says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I'll sing praise to thy name. The name stands for the person of God, representing all that he is. Do we complain about the Lord? Or grumble about what he allows into our lives? Or are we glad for him? I like what the crowd said about the Lord Jesus. They said, he hath done all things well. And it's actually out of Mark 7:37. After Jesus had healed a blind man, after Jesus had healed a man who couldn't speak, it says about the crowd, and of them, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He hath done all things well, they said. And they thought about the Lord. Now, I'm learning to say that in my life about things that I don't like. That I don't like that he has allowed into my life. I'm learning to say he hath done all things well about the things that disappoint me, as well as the things that are wonderful things that I do not deserve. To say, he has done everything well. I'll sing praise to thy name. Often a song for us, a song springs out of your heart and reflecting what's going on. And you may have been there. We've been praying, but had to stop praying because you saw a song came to your mind. You felt like you should sing it. You know, it was David that placed singers about the tabernacle, so they would always, and paid them, so they would always have a part in the worship of God to praise the beauty of holiness, the Bible says. The beauty of the holiness of God and of his perfection. If you have a pen, I always advise you to write some things in your Bible, but I would advise you in these first two verses to underline the words, I will. Four times he says about the worship of God, I will. That, you know, feelings comes often after you decide to do something. It was like my wife and I were going to get married, and so she went to talk to her pastor, a youth pastor she was very close to. It was Pastor Alan Ritberg, and he asked her, do you love him? And she's, didn't know how to answer that at first. Well, you know, I guess so. In her mind, it was all about, am I doing the right thing? I'm doing what God wants me to do. I think she didn't have any problem with the fact that she loved me, but she knew she should marry me, and so that's what she did, and I'm glad she did. So the praise of God. The praise of God, often, you know, it springs out of something that happens to you and an answer to prayer or something. You're so thankful. But then you come to church. Okay, well, now how do you have feeling for God like we're told to have and like we should have? It's not accidental now. It's going to be on purpose. He says, I will about all those things. I will praise thee. I will show forth thy marvelous works. I'll be glad. I'll sing, he said. And requires decision to reach down to feeling for God, past obstacles and, you know, the way the traffic was when you came here, the things that went wrong. Some of you didn't have any hydro or, you know, whatever it was. Last week, I was late for church. I'm never late for church. It was finally a decent day after like five Sundays where I could ride the bike. And so Marlene took the car. I got the bike out. And my bike doesn't have a fuel gauge. It just has a reserve system. And so once the tank goes down so far, it quits. Then you switch it on reserve, and you have a bit of fuel left to get to a gas station. And I had rode it in last time I had rode the bike. I rode it in. It quit on the way home. Flipped it to reserve, rode the rest of the way home. Didn't get gas. So I got out. I'm like, well, I think there's still a fair bit of gas in there. And I'm riding it, and it starts missing. But I don't have an old piece of junk anymore. It doesn't miss unless it's running out of fuel. So there was a fuel station there, so I pulled into the SO really quick and got some fuel. But then when I came to church, I had to rush, and then I was late, and I hate being late. And things happen to that where you have to kind of put that all aside, things that are bothering you, whatever it might be, when you come to church. Put it aside and say, I will focus my attention now on the praise of God, because that's the right thing to do. And that needs to be done. That's a great deal of what public worship is all about. You remember when you're young, you try to get past the way that the children behaved and, you know, whatever, disappointing breakfast or whatever it might be. The conditions of our life. And reach down to where the soul meets God, and that is in all of his marvelous works. Because, he says, I'll praise thee with my whole heart, but then he tells us how. He said, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. If you want to praise the Lord, just go down to where you can find things, remember things, and concentrate on things where God has blessed you, helped you, and done great things, marvelous things for you. And look at those situations. Who can be saved and not see what God, wonderful things God has done in saving your soul? And so many things since then. Wonderful things in his walk with me. I believe one of the key things about why man was created in the first place was so that God could come as he did to Adam and Eve and walk with them in the cool of the evening. In some sense, we were created for the friendship of God. And of all people in the Bible, Abraham has that conspicuous title that he is called the friend of God. So in our lives, we need to maintain a friendship with God. I don't think for Adam and Eve that ever got old. I think sin got in there, but we have the closeness to God that we work at having. And so David says, I will with my whole heart, I will be glad and rejoice in him, not in me, and pride, not in whatever skill I think I have, or beauty you think you have, or intellect you think you might have, not in money, not that root of all evil that is so much of people's lives, not in what I do of sinful independence, not in house and cars, material things, love not the world, not the things that are in the world. It's funny, we were sitting around the lunch table, and somebody mentioned, one of the guys that we have now at our shop came from the Etobicoke branch. And he happened to say about one of the drivers from a different branch we hadn't seen. We all know him. And when he comes, apparently he did the same thing when he was in Etobicoke, because we haven't seen him since he has been here at our branch, this other mechanic. But that other driver comes in, and all he ever talks about is his Mustang and the great engine that's in his Mustang, how fast it goes, and his son's Mustang. You know, just nothing. In other words, the only thing that excites you in your whole life is useless. Not that a car is useless. I mean, it does have some use, but like, wow, that's the only thing you can ever talk about other than cursing and swearing is to talk about your Mustang. Well, I mean, it's good to have a car, I guess, but Boy, if that's all you've got in this life, and often the talk of the world is, that's the best that it is, and then it goes down from there. But material things, that's all people in the world have, but to us, that just seems so empty and pointless. If that's all you can speak of, we want to speak of the praise of God, how good God has been, and how wonderful it is to be close to Him, His marvelous works. You know, what's the song we sing? What songs come to our mind? Well, I have to be at work and the radio's always on. I turn it off when I can. I change the station to a less annoying and whatever song. But all the songs about the world. All the songs of the world, you know, are just so shallow. Shameful things even that people talk about. Lust and passion and selfish love. And just pitiful things. But our songs need to be of the praise of God's name. Because He is the only source of every good and perfect thing. Every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It comes down into our lives, and it makes us happy to have God's hand in our lives, in His presence. And so, He says, I will be glad. Well, there are a lot of times you might come to church, you're bothered. You might not feel glad. Maybe somebody at church is annoying you. Like Janet. Oh no, I was annoying Janet. Oh, that's how it went. You have to get by that and concentrate. We want to concentrate our attention on the Lord because that's what it is about, to worship God as a group together in church, and there's no place like it. And so he'll go on and talk about other things that we'll look at next time because I'm out of time almost. But when my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence, he says. As though he's looking in the future and knows that God's going to take care of him in the future. And we'll look at those things. But I'll just stop there and say, is there anything else that has come to mind that you'd like to add or any question you have this morning? Yes, my dear. Yeah, that's right. And we should indeed keep our attention on Him. And sometimes that's all you can say is all He's done, because, you know, little things that, you know, would take 5 minutes to try to explain to someone else and mean nothing to them in the end. When you try to tell someone else what God has done for you in every little detail of your life. I mean, just wonderful things. Sometimes all you can say is all the things. Now, when I say all the things, that, you know, it doesn't mean anything to you, but it means something to me. I can think of particular things when I say that to be thankful for the Lord and for all His blessings. Anything else? No? All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God, and thank you for the privilege, Lord, of gathering to worship you and to praise your name. And as we see this in the psalm and so in so many psalms, we wish to take time to emphasize it this morning, Lord, that we might draw near to you, that we might hold out the hand to you, as it were, to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done in our lives, and for good things and for difficult things also, where we see that they have become a good thing because of your patience and because you know the future and because you know what is right for us. We thank you for all your blessings, and we pray that you'll encourage us as we come to the worship service, that we will come to you with our whole hearts this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.